£8 trillion. So it's part of this overall payment system. What if Scotland set up its own payment system?
Oh, right. What would happen? Indeed, that's a very good question.
Well, let's try and compare it with the water industry for a second, okay? 1989, the English water system, which was previously regional publicly owned water systems, was privatised, unlike Scotland, okay? The people who bought it spent £7.6 billion buying it. Mm-hmm. However, the government of the day, which is back in the Thatcher days, kept the entire £4.9 billion of debts that they had. They also gave the private corporations £1.5 billion of public funds. And the latest estimate, this is about 6 months old, mm-hmm. is that people in England are paying about £2.6 billion more for their water than they would have done if it had remained as it was.
That's incredible.
Now,
that is amazing statistic.
All of these things have got nothing in themselves to do with currency, mm-hmm. right? But if you can think of currency like the water system, when you turn on the tap in your house, water comes out. Mm-hmm. It comes out of a publicly owned system.
Yes.
When you use your Visa card or your MasterCard or you go onto Eventbrite or you use Indiegogo, mm-hmm. you are going on to a completely private system in some way, which has taken their tiny bit. I use the expression, it's like a vampire who knows. It doesn't need to kill who he's attacking. It just needs to take a little bit of blood all the time. Now think of the banking industry. Okay? Do we have a publicly owned bank? Do we have a publicly owned payment system? Do we have a means? Right. What I've been doing over the past 2 years of my life, starting at Yes Rutherglen, is going around Scotland, talking about currency, but knowing that what I was actually wanting to introduce was a publicly owned Yes payments system.
The money would stay in Scotland, whatever money the private companies are siphoning off, that would still remain here?
By choice. Mm-hmm. It would be your choice, Norrie, whether you use the payment system or still use the banking system. Uh-huh. Okay. People who know me know I've collected £1 coins, so stay small. Mm-hmm. I got them to sign a form to make a promise, which is the equivalent of the promise on a banknote.
Yeah, promise to pay the bearer. Blah,
correct.
Blah.
So it's a Scottish Yes person making that promise. Mm. The pound coins were put into bottles, mm-hmm. just like the water industry. That's why I've always used the bottle as an example, because it contains something which is held and which can be distributed.
Exactly.
Now, Kevin has been with me. We went through to Holyrood more than once, 6 times, and took the bottles, not all full, took the bottles with the coins in it. Mm-hmm. And delivered it into the safekeeping of the First Minister of Scotland.
Which one was that?
It's the role that that name implies. So if you like, at the moment you would say that's Nicola Sturgeon, mm-hmm. but no. Because what I was trying to show was a symbolic central bank.
Right.
One that was in the safekeeping of the First Minister of Scotland and the Government of Scotland.
Indeed.
Okay, so
There's a lot in there, Mike.
Think big, start small, start now.
Indeed.
And that's what I've been doing.
It's a great analogy, because it's got me in the back foot. The thing about the currency, I shouldn't say the currency, but it was made a big thing of in the last referendum, when it really shouldn't have. We had Ian Lawson in talking about Estonia.
Yeah.
And they had a much bigger detachment from a much bigger neighbour, i.e. the USSR, and he was saying that it was not an issue. They got their coins and their currency, and they used it electronically to reinvent their systems, and it was not an issue. When you come to Scotland, it seems to be a huge issue. Are we missing a trick here?
Absolutely. Think Scotland for a while, yep. Okay? The main suggestions, and they're sensible suggestions, the day after we win independence, Norrie, mm-hmm. I'll get a state pension. Right? The state pension will be paid to me in sterling.
Uh-huh.
If you get a salary from a company that is based in England, they'll pay you in sterling.
Yes.
But oil is sold in dollars.
Yes, indeed.
So, is oil anything to do with Scotland? It's a kind of obvious question.
Of course it is. Wow.
You've got whiskey, which is sold in Japan.
Yep.
Guess what? They'll get paid in yen. Mm-hmm. Langoustine fishermen off the west coast of Scotland are selling into Europe. They'll get paid in euros. So suddenly we get focused into this thing called currency and sterling.
Yep.
Without actually realising it's a much bigger picture than that.
Of course it is, of course it is.
Particularly if there are 194. So if you have a system which says, which currency of the 194 do you want to use today? Mm-hmm. You don't even have to think about currency and sterling, you just use the system.
Indeed, exactly. Wow. Listen, my throat's going. We're going to take a wee break. We're going to go into Labby Siffre, Something Inside So Strong. Right, Mike, we're talking about you're using the water barrel as an analogy of flow. Not
correct.
Necessarily cash flow, but just expenditure, the tax system, how it appears on paper, like the dollar is used for the oil.
Correct.
When we sell whiskey to Japan, it'll be the yen. So these aren't things that are calibrated in sterling, and that's a problem.
It's more to summarise where I'm coming from, Norrie, if I could do it this way.
Yes, surely.
We will be attacked as a yes movement in the next NDRF like nobody's business.
Mm-hmm.
Currency was one of the issues. Mm-hmm. I spent a lot of time reading the opposition papers and ideas.
How long did it take you?
It takes me a lot of time. You'll find that probably currency has decreased slightly in terms of the attack.
Mm.
But what will be in there is a deficit. The difference between what the Scottish government takes in tax and the tax revenue it's got, okay, and what it wants to spend.
Mm-hmm.
Deficit's going to be big. If you go to the Growth Commission papers, you'll find that what they're trying to do is say, we need to get the deficit in order. The opposition will say, yeah, and that means you're going to have to increase the current austerity regime to do that.
I see where the attack's coming from.
Right?
Yeah.
You'll hear this long. That's why the Growth Commission have said, right, it may take a while before we can actually introduce a currency. So it's not the currency that's important. What is important is the deficit.
There you go.
That is what we'll be hit with.
Yes.
Now, what I'm actually saying in the earlier bit with Visa, MasterCard, Eventbrite, Indiegogo, Amazon, Boots the Chemist, which is owned by a company outside UK.
Mm-hmm.
All of these are actually where we are contributing to the deficit.
Indeed.
We're letting the money go out of Scotland. So I go back to my start small. I know people can't see this on the radio, but I'm holding in my hand my mobile phone.
It sure is. I can vouch for that.
On that phone is an app which I've produced. Got it from Holland, okay? Costs me nothing because it's people who are looking at problems to do with capitalism, if you like.
Capitalism.
How money is extracted and goes up the way from the bottom.
Yes.
What that app does is very simply, it will deal with any currency.
Mm-hmm.
It will avoid using Visa, MasterCard. It would replace Eventbrite.
And what's the name of this app, Mike?
I won't go into that side.
Well, you don't want to download it?
No, because what I've done at the moment is had discussions with a small, and I go back to my start small, small number of people, which I'm going to start testing it on. I've done a pilot test on it.
It's a pilot.
However,
okay,
we have a new name for a currency, which I'm suggesting.
Oh, what's the name?
Okay, now...
What would you have?
I started off calling myself... The Facebook page is called The Scottish Hand.
Aye.
Now, I chose hand. Pound is, for me, is anathema, right? It's a way of measuring something. It's so old that Scotland, if it's independent, has to be different.
Right.
Adam Smith, famous for economics...
Indeed.
...used a phrase called the invisible hand. What we've got to do is make it visible. The invisible hand is partly what I'm talking about.
Yes,
the
indeed.
Money being siphoned off.
And we don't know.
Right?
Yeah.
Auld Lang Syne, Robbie Burns. Here's a hand, my trusty friend.
Indeed.
And gaze a hand. That's to do with the exchange. That's what money's all about. So I started off with that idea. Some people said, no, you've got Kevin Bridges saying smackaroonie. There's a whole bunch of
I love
of
that
right.
one.
I decided that the way we talk about things, we go back hundreds of years, right? And we talk about things that happened at Bannockburn.
We can't help ourselves.
Okay. Think forward 300 years.
Oof, that's more difficult.
Right? To a long-term generation looking back at this time in Scotland's history. And for me, there is one word that defines what we are doing at the moment, and it's how we're going to vote. It's the word yes. So I decided that the currency should be called yes. Now, we also need one for pence, and I decided that should be please. So at the moment, the app has yes, please.
Yes.
Now, I guarantee you one thing.
It'll be controversial.
Apart from being controversial, the system I'm using, I need to sidetrack for a second. System on this app is currently used by about 300 million people in China. It's maybe something we can talk about a wee bit later.
Yes, we will.
Right? So I'm not talking about, I'm borrowing Chinese technology to do this, right? Which allows it to happen. Here's what I guarantee you. With this system, if you have an influx of Chinese tourists, one, they will instantly recognise the system I'm using because they use it all the time in China.
I'm familiar with it. Yeah.
And number two, the unique selling point, the USP that everyone will tell you you have to have, comes from having Scotland having a currency called Yes Please. Believe me, that will work. Now, other people will have their own suggestions in this, right?
Yeah.
I was at a meeting the other day where we were talking about logos and slogans, etc. As soon as you open that up, everyone piles in. So what I'm doing is I'm using Yes Please at the moment, right? Eventually the people of Scotland will decide what their currency should be called. But I'll tell you, this system will work on Yes Please because it will only be used amongst the Yes community. I don't intend to suggest that Ruth Davidson will use it. She won't, right? She can continue to use the bank system and pay the other companies. But I'm saying if Yes want to look at the deficit and how to reduce it, Kevin has come through to me with me to Holyrood quite a few times. And one of the things I've done as each stage of this has gone on is I've delivered notes to all 129 MSPs. The First Minister has had the bottles. So there is no one in government or in politics in Holyrood who isn't unaware of what I've been doing. Now, whether they appreciate that it might have an impact, we'll see in due course.
Brilliant. There's a couple of things I want to get involved, because you mentioned Commonweal, and when we had Jonathan Chaffee in, we were talking about the currency. I think you're right. It's more about the economy of Scotland, and we looked at their system, and I gave it 3 years, and like you just said, in the first year, you would have a currency named and set up, co-running with the existing currency. After the second year, you'd build up your banks, etc. By the third year, nobody would have the original currency. And that's what we're on about. We're going to have a bit of music now. Charlie Puth featuring Meghan Trainor. This is Let's Marvin Gaye and Get It On. Yeah, I'll play that one for my wee daughter who's off school today. She's damaged her knee. She got went over in a over the curb and her knee went up like a balloon. So she couldn't go to her dancing last night and she's off school today, but hopefully she'll be back tomorrow. That's for you, Mary. Hope you like it. Right, back to Mike Fenwick. And the other thing about your name is a lot of people call you Fenwick. And that's wrong, isn't it, Mike Fenwick? just get my... well, Kev's listening. He uses Fenwick and it's not, it's Fenwick.
I don't have an ego, Norrie, because Kevin's been calling me Mike Fenwick since I first met him, and that's years ago. Whenever he introduces me on a live stream, he says, and here we are with Mike Fenwick.
And you just go with it.
You just go with it.
Do you know the other thing Kev says? Westminster. He doesn't say Westminster, Westminster.
Okay.
So he's got a couple of faults, but we love him nevertheless.
Can I interrupt off and go off at a tangent just for a second?
Well, I want to get back onto this currency thing.
Just, I want to praise what you're doing here.
Thank you very
much. And I say it quite genuinely. I watch on Facebook while you can't speak on Facebook.
Yeah.
And I listen on Indy Live Radio. I know it's only the start, and having watched you and been involved this morning and mm-hmm. earlier in just discussions with Kevin, I know that there's an awful lot to come from here, and I applaud both
much,
of you
mate.
For the work that
Thank
you've done.
You.
No, you deserve that, okay? What people are listening to just now and watching just now is in its infancy.
Yeah, it sure is.
I think we've come out of the womb, but we're in our infancy, so...
We stay up in November. I met Kev and I says, Kev, there's an angle here to get something sorted. And we both sat down with a white bit of paper, blank bit of paper. What are we wanting to do? We need to get a music-based show to get to not just talk politics all the time or independence, put a bit of music on, get the weather, get just something that people can go to, which isn't biased and which is more informative rather than... You know, the caucus and the other things that are out there, which yeah. people get really annoyed just because they don't get to the issues. So we get to the issues. Mike Fenwick, you would not be here if you didn't get to the issues. And we're getting messages in. It's 07507 248 856. I've got to punt that quite a lot because we need to get more people talking about the... even if it's just the name of the currency, even if it's just the way our economy works, we need to get more and more involved with this and realising that a lot of our money can be wasted and it doesn't stay in the country. We lose it to these big companies like the banks and the Amazons and the Boots of Chemists who have their offices in America or other places. We have to know how that deficit arrives and how we can do something about it. But I was going to get onto something maybe a bit contentious, Mike. It's about poor people... When they talk about the currency, let's just talk about currency just for a second, and they put up the complaints where we need a lender of last resort. How are we going to do that? And where's the bank? We haven't even got a bank. How are we going to do that? But these things can be overcome, can't they?
Lender of last resort relates to something called the Financial Services Compensation Scheme, with whom I have had dealings in the past. Had a big argument with them and won the argument on behalf of a client not that long ago. It comes from Europe.
Ooh.
And Europe have decided that because banks can go bust, people must be told there's a safety net. At the moment, that safety net is up to 85,000.
Right.
Right. Ignore that for a second.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason that safety net exists is because banks could go bust. If they didn't go bust, you wouldn't need a safety net.
Yeah.
So the first thing you start saying is, right, hang on a minute. If we didn't have the money parked in a bank,
aye,
do we need the safety net?
Exactly.
Okay. Start at that point, okay? The second thing to ask you is, where does the 85, a bank goes bust and everyone gets their £85,000 back, okay? Mm. Where does the £85,000 come from? It comes from within the financial system.
Yes.
Right?
Uh-huh.
So let's say Bank A goes bust, Bank B pays out all the 85,000s. Mm-hmm. Where's Bank B going to get the 85,000s from?
Mm-hmm.
You and me.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, again, you have to come back to the system.
Yep.
Don't use a word like currency. Just the system is what's important.
System.
Now,
mm-hmm.
here's where I come from. Average salary in Scotland, and you've got to watch averages because there's a hell of a lot of people below the average, but the average salary is, say, around £25,000.
Mm-hmm.
After tax, after national insurance, you're down about £19,000, mm-hmm. okay? Then you're dealing with the things you're talking about, the cost of housing, whether it's
a mortgage,
whatever,
yep.
okay? Then you're down to food. Then hopefully you might get a break at Centre Parks if you're lucky,
aye.
Right?
Exactly.
Most people I'm working for and what I'm doing, and it comes from my background, are people who find that I've got some money in today.
Mm-hmm.
It'll last me, I hope, till the end of the week. I hope till the end of the month.
Yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
They're never going to be needing £85,000 worth of safety. What they need
Correct.
Is a system that allows them to pay their bills without someone siphoning off a bit, mm-hmm. like Vocalink,
mm-hmm.
okay? Be able to maybe contribute to Independence Live, send in a fiver,
mm-hmm.
without Indiegogo taking a pound
I
out
know.
Of it,
yeah.
right?
Oof.
What we've got to try and do is start at the bottom of all of this, right? And just slowly build something. That's what I'm trying to do, is slowly build something from the bottom up. Not in a spectacular way, and I can give you the best example I can give you of
Go
this.
For it.
In America, must be over 100 years ago, and forgive me folks if I don't know the date, there's a lot of money getting ploughed into something, and there's two blokes in the middle of nowhere called Wright. And the big money's going into how do we get flight? How do we build this dream? Can man mm-hmm. possibly fly? Mm-hmm. There's two brothers called Wright sitting down with bits of wood saying, mm-hmm. I think we can do this.
Mm-hmm.
Who first flew? The Wright brothers, right? Not top down,
no.
bottom up,
yes.
right? So what you do, and why I'm doing it the way I'm doing it, using the example of, say, the Growth Commissioner, Commonweal, or Andy Anderson,
Aye.
My USP is that all happens after independence. I'm saying no, folks, do it now, start now,
exactly.
because if I'm right, this is important.
Of course it is.
And see if I'm wrong, the sooner I find out, the better. And it'll depend not on me, not whether my ideas are right, but whether the Yes community will actually just take part at a very small level. I didn't ask for any more in the bottle than a pound coin.
Mm-hmm.
And the form that they signed was everyone's passbook.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't go to me, went to the First Minister, and if anyone wants that pound back, if they replicate their signature on the form which I have,
all right.
they can have their pound back.
Right.
So this whole thing is built on a no-risk principle. There's no need for £85,000 safety nets.
Correct.
So eventually what you would have, I hope, but it would be a political decision. Mm. All I'm trying to do is give an example of how you do it.
And it's
the money that average people have would be in the Central Bank of Scotland, mm-hmm. safe and secure,
mm-hmm.
and their money.
And, you know, this thing about the... we depend too much on the economy of England if we were to become independent. Our finances would dry up. How do you tackle that argument? Because this is a big one we've had on the show. People have said, oh, you're losing one of your biggest trading partners. You couldn't do it. And, well, wait a minute here, how does Denmark trade with Germany then? You know, it's just a question that I'd like the no voters, the soft no voters, to think about. How do other countries deal with their own systems and get on with it? It's bizarre that Scotland couldn't do it, isn't it?
At the end of the day, trade is a question between someone that's willing to sell something and someone that's willing to buy something. It's as simple as that, Norrie.
Exactly, and we'll still trade with our the goods we have and the goods we need. There'll still be cross-border trade. Whew! I'm going to ask Mike a few things off-air, like, does he want a coffee? And in the meantime, we're going to play Catherine McGrath. She's dodged a bullet, apparently. See what she's saying. Yes, indeed, Catherine McGrath. She's dodged a bullet. Really good track. I like that. Hold on. We'll just get rid of that and play this. Somebody's wanting a budge in me there, Mike. I can't believe this. Who's that? Right, Riley Madison. Now, get lost. It's the time for me to chat because all that stuff that Mike was talking about, all that good stuff, it's not good for you to just listen to it. Go about your business and forget about it because it's so interesting. And he has a Facebook page and it's jam-packed and it's the Scottish Hand. For those that don't know, go and visit that sometime. Leave a message, like it, because on that there is loads of stuff that Mike Fenwick's just been talking about, how our system, our disorganised system has led to this deficit that you and I are part of and contribute to. And on that page, there's a headline. Have Yes Got the Bottle?
It's a separate page.
It's a separate page.
It's got some videos on it which try and explain what I've been talking about this morning.
Right.
So it's two pages.
And it's meant in two ways. Have Yes Got the Bottle? I.e. the analogy of the bottle with the pounds. And have they got the nerve? Have they got the bravery to go ahead and discuss what we've been discussing at a higher level, perhaps, rather than a wee radio station like us?
Let me give you an example, Laurie, of something I've done, OK? Most of the people that will visit that page, or most of the people that are involved in discussions on the economy, deficits, mm-hmm. currency, are adults.
Mm-hmm.
We've all been brainwashed into thinking that the existing system works the way it does.
Uh-huh.
But if you speak, what age is your daughter?
10.
Right. If I spoke to your daughter and told her something mm-hmm. and asked whether you as an adult were irresponsible, mm-hmm. let me tell you what I would explain to her. For the past 200 years, and as recent as 2009, I was involved in something at the Supreme Court in London.
Now, in London?
Right, mm-hmm. okay. Can't get higher.
No.
And here's the fact. The second that you put your money into a bank, okay, uh-huh. so whether it's your salary getting paid in by a direct debit from your employer, mm-hmm. whether it's your pension getting paid in, universal credit, whatever, mm-hmm. the second it goes into a bank, it becomes the bank's money.
Indeed.
The legal ownership of that money is now the bank's. When you go up to the ATM and you look at the balance, mm-hmm. that is not the amount of money you have in the bank. That is the amount of money that the bank owe you.
Indeed. We'll have to stop it there just because we've got the news coming up, and we'll get back to Mike after this. Radio. Right, we're getting to a couple of messages coming in. Listening in, Drich Bannockburn, you're on screen in the Orbit Photo. I don't know what you're on about there, Ali, but good to have you along. Tax savings and corruptions in the City of London, check out bloody blah. That's from Ron and Brecon. And there's a few more. We've still got Mike Fennick, and we're going to carry on with what we left off there, Mike. You were asking me about how old my daughter was and what the future might be for her.
Right. What I was getting at is the fact that we all accept the system of banking as it exists. That's the system we use. We've all grown up with it. But if you take someone around, maybe just slightly under the age of 10, maybe the age of 8, mm-hmm. and say to them, what you've got in the piggy bank that you've saved up from birthdays and Christmases and aunts and uncles, mm-hmm. I want you to give it over to the ownership, and I'm going to use a name here, of Fred Goodwin.
Right.
Mr. Goodwin gets paid millions of pounds a year, and we need your pocket money to help pay for that. And oh, by the way, it won't be your pocket money any longer. When it goes into the bank, it becomes under Mr. Goodwin's responsibility. It's his money.
Mm-hmm.
And see if he ever gets it wrong, and maybe the bank is upset and runs into difficulties. Mr. Goodwin will go to the government and say that he needs help, and the only person he can think of, because he's lost all your piggy bank money, mm-hmm. is to ask your mum and dad to bail him out.
Yes.
Now, if you speak to an 8-year-old, not necessarily in those terms, and say, does that system make sense to you? Or would a system where you put the money into a bank called a Scottish Central Bank.
Right. Are you getting this, listeners?
And it's always your money.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And you can take it out anytime you like.
Yep.
Right. We don't have that at the moment. There's a lot of people speculating about it.
Indeed.
But there's this idiot called Mike Fennick going around, and he's got this bottle, and he asks you to put your pocket money, say a pound.
Aye.
Because a lot of people, when I've gone round, I went round Yes groups, and I went to a lot of the rallies, Norrie.
Mm-hmm.
Parents came up to me and said, I want to join in and put my pound in the bottle. They'd heard about it. Can my son put his pound in? Because this is about his future,
mm-hmm.
right? I said yes to that. I wasn't, because I knew I could always give them the money back,
mm-hmm.
right? If they, maybe said, where did you sign it? Because that's on the form. And would you sign it again, a different signature?
Aye.
Can I go back just quickly to trade with the rest of the UK?
Oh, yeah, that's what I was getting to. Yep.
Let's assume that England maybe uses some of our water.
Mm-hmm.
And let's assume that we send them electricity.
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to say, sorry, we don't want your water any longer because we're really annoyed at you, Scotland, for being independent?
Yeah.
And we're going to switch off all the lights because we don't want your electricity any longer. Anyway, yes, there will be trade disruption. Of course there will be.
Yes, that's what I was getting to.
Nothing will ever be the same again. But actually, that's the whole point of independence,
exactly.
Is to say, we don't want the same old, same old.
Indeed.
Let's start from scratch and we'll decide. Sensible people who run businesses, sensible people, if we have any, who run governments. Governments, let me keep going.
Aye.
Sensible people realise that there's a common sense way of going about life, and you don't cut people off and say you're not be able to sell your iron brew will be banned at the border. It's not going to happen.
No, it's not. And but these old arguments from 2014 cannot be reproduced, Mike. It's a busted flush from the unionist parties. The new ones they're coming up with are the border. You'll have a hard border. You'd have checkpoint Charlies because you've got independence. And I just go back to this analogy of Denmark with Germany, with Holland. They don't have checkpoint Charlies and barbed wire fences at the border. It's a total myth. And if we take the backstop for Northern Ireland,
yep.
That's a great analogy for us as well. If you don't need one there, why would you need one in Scotland? It's just another red herring to put us on the back foot and start thinking, oh no. And then we've always got to defend that... that negative that comes to us.
Mm-hmm.
And we were speaking last week on the phone about the negative. You know, how do we defend all the time against that negative? It's very difficult, isn't it?
One of the things that... I'm going to jump onto discussion about three groups in Ayrshire. Ayr for Independence, yes, East Ayrshire. And my own wee group, yes, Garnet Valley and West Kilbride.
Shameless plug there, never mind.
We've now had five meetings and coming together, and it's trying to deal with how you deal with the negatives. Now, one of the discussions at the last Sunday meeting we had, one of the groups that I have a great deal of time for, because it's so simple in the way they've done it, is Inverness.
Oh, yes.
Right?
Indeed.
It just rolls off the tongue. You don't have to think about it, and it says everything it's got to say.
Indeed.
If you go back to the referendum, what you got was two words, and it was discussed on the BBC channel last night on this programme about NDRF, yes or no.
Oh, I missed that.
Was two words, better together.
Mm-hmm.
European EU referendum, it was take back control.
Mm-hmm.
Now, within life, pumping out those messages, better together, take back control, influences a vast majority of the people.
Mm.
And one of the things we are discussing is how do we do that? Now, one of the things, we're only at the start of this, we're asking for ideas, but basically mm-hmm. we started off with the simple idea of Ayrshire with the A-Y-R,
mm-hmm.
and we change it to Ayshire, A-Y-E.
I get that, yep.
Okay, so we would read Ayrshire, Ayshire, so I'll do it the other way around.
Yeah, no, but we get the point, because it's a play in words.
We're playing on that. Now,
playing letters.
We took it one stage further and then went Ayrshire, Ayrshire, comma, only better.
Ooh.
Right?
Yes.
Now, different people have different opinions. Don't use better because that was better together. A lot of different things. But here's where I've come from when you're talking about negative.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to watch how you do this and not get into a mess over it. But let's say someone's going to vote no.
Mm-hmm.
Ask them whether they're voting no to free prescriptions.
Indeed.
Whether they're voting no to free personal care.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they're voting no to free tuition. Whether they're voting no to the fact that there isn't a bedroom tax in Scotland.
Yes, mitigated.
Right. So when someone says, I'm going to vote no, ask them what they're voting no to.
Yeah.
Right.
That's a great point.
Now, I think we've got to start dealing with it. We've got to be very clever about it. I'm not the person to do this. And you start getting into Bill Dale and his reframing arguments, and we start going from too wee to big enough, smart enough, etc. The tactics used against us was a big red bus for the Euro referendum, right?
I know.
But that has an impact on a lot of people, right? Take Back Control has. So the three groups, we're working on it just now. We're going to try and do a poll and say to everyone, throw in your ideas, and we'll try and maybe come up with something. But that type of thing is how we do it now. Main reason for that is to start getting an attack on the mainstream media and the powers that range against us, right? Who will pump something out day in, day out. We've got to find simple ways of doing our own version of that, where we simply say, and the vote no is a good example of what we're thinking of.
Well, we've got jingles we put on continually during the day, and
same thing.
I think one of them goes, independence is normal, and we've got youngsters saying it, and it's our future. Look after us. I'll maybe play some later on. They come up randomly on the machine, but they do play 24 hours, and whoever listens gets that message. It's a positive message from the radio station. Once we're up and running with a lot more presenters and a lot more money, dare I say it, we will get those messages put forward on a rolling steam. And make no mistakes, Mike, there's people from the BBC listening to this, I can assure you. They like to know what's happening out there, radio stations, local and community stations, because they get ideas. And if we can influence their agenda, hey, we've done a small thing in our existence. Right, we've got, do you like the jam?
Yep.
Eating Rifles, and then we'll be back. Well, we might play two tracks and go for a cup of tea, but we'll be back after this.
We are the future of Scotland. Look after us.
And we've got Mike back with us. Hello, Mike, again.
Hello again.
We had a wee break there. We had to get outside, get some fresh air, get some water and get all sorted out. Now, usually at this time of day, Mike, about 12:30, we usually do a review of the papers, what they're saying. Now, this one jumped out at me. The SNP could debate a four-day week plan. What do you think about that? Could it work?
Absolutely.
Is it about time?
I have a number of email addresses, and at the age of 24, I started out in business on my own account, and one of the email addresses tells you the hours I used to work. Mm-hmm. It was AM, PM, 365, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year.
And was your productivity good at all times in that?
With one exception, I had to go into the... I ran a computer system. It's quite funny watching you guys dealing with your technical issues here. I set up a ring round the office that I ran. But I had to go in on the 1st of January every year because the system didn't update the date on a year change. I had to go in and change it physically. Reason for saying that, very simply, is when it came to the Y2 bug, I was probably the only person that wasn't worried about it because I knew I had to go in and do it.
Yeah.
My reason for saying all of that, the hours that people worked are determined by whether they are self-employed, which is an increasing number of the population, whether it's dictated by an employer, or worst of all, whether it's down to zero-hour contracts and the gig economy. Because if you work at that level, talking that those terms only applies to the one category in that, which is where someone has a formal, normal working week in a contract of some kind.
Yes.
Are people productive for less time? When I was running the company, we used to deal with, this is a long time ago, I mean, it's a long time since I sold the companies, moved elsewhere. But basically, when we had any of the women that worked in the office going pregnant, we would always say to them, do you want to come back full-time or part-time?
Aye.
Quite a few of them went back to part-time, and I was quite happy about that.
Yeah.
So they would work maybe from 8 till 12, 4 hours in the morning,
mm-hmm.
and someone would come in from 1 till 5.
Mm-hmm.
And what you found, what I found, and as the employer at that time was very happy about, was the lady in the morning would always try and never leave anything for the lady in the afternoon.
Wow.
And similarly, the lady in the afternoon wouldn't want to leave too much left over for the girl coming in the morning. So the productivity in those 2 4-hour periods, mm-hmm. I am absolutely sure, was far greater. Plus, they could choose if they were, I don't know, if they had something on, they were going to a party or they were going, they could change and say, would you do my hours?
Uh-huh.
If they went on holiday, they could say, right, we'll do full time, and they would get a babysitter or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Any form of flexible working.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be 4 days. It could be the number of hours in the week.
Okay. We'll take a wee break there. We've got a problem. We'll be back with some music. Okay. Yes, that was the band Perry, Gentle on My Mind. We're having trouble, as you might imagine. We haven't got any internet going out, so this will be blanked live. But later on tonight, you'll be able to hear us chatting away. We were talking about the SNP conference is going to be doing debating a 4-day week plan, and we'll get Mike Fenwick's thoughts on that. Mike was giving us a brief. Synopsis about his company and what happened when when people were given the chance to drop down their hours if they were more productive, and he said they were. They were more conscientious as well. So this is going to go through. The other thing was that it gives us more free time, I guess, Mike. It gives us more three days to spend our money to put back into the economy.
That's true. It's not how I would look at it. It's more down to how individuals. We are going to see AI coming in, artificial intelligence.
Indeed.
So that is going to have a lot of people thinking about how things are done.
Yeah.
Again, it could come down to what is productive for the economy. Now, that you're talking about the spending side of things.
Just one aspect of it.
You've got to also deal with, okay, what are we producing?
Yeah.
Okay. As far as I'm concerned, in terms of population size, Scotland has probably the best kind of small 5-6 million kind of size of population.
Aye.
If you start getting into much, much larger populations and disruption coming from AI,
mm-hmm.
you're going to hit problems with what do you do with all the people who are looking for something to do, who don't have the money to spend it. That takes you into whether or not you have a universal income.
Yes.
I tend to go for universal services rather than universal income.
Mm-hmm. We'll just take a wee break. We're going, right, we're back live, so we're not going back live, but we're going to take a break.